to ask you if you would turn... Oh, wait a minute. We've got to do a devotional first. I'd like to read an article. It's actually in today's bulletin if you'd like to read along with me. Usually I try to pick an article from one of our previous bulletins. But this one was so good, I just had to bring it in. It's on the bottom, or the inside page, written by Pastor Milton Howard. I remember that man. What a wonderful guitar player, but also what a wonderful preacher. I miss him. He writes, "Everything in this world is vain without Christ. This world is nothing more than a pretty painted coffin which to go to hell in. It mocks our soul. It's an illusion, a mirage in the desert. There is no joy here. Possessions are nothing more than anxiety and worry. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. In this world there is nothing that comforts, nothing that satisfies, nothing that makes you happy. Everything here passes away. All religion is nothing more than making up that is put on a corpse, that is makeup put on a corpse. Even repentance, if it does not lead you to Christ, must be repented of. Faith that does not look to Christ and is not based on His atoning sacrifice is not the faith of God's elect." Folks, everything's going to burn up in the end. When Adam sinned, the Lord cursed the very ground that he walked on. There's sorrow in everything that there is here. Yesterday I had the pleasure, but I got to thinking about this pleasure that I had as I shared it with others. To some, it's sorrowful. I got to hold my mom in my arms for the first time in a year and a half. But as I shared those words with those that I love, I was reminded of those who can't and who will never again get to hold a loved one. Is there not sorrow in everything about this world? Turn to Galatians chapter 1, if you would. I've got a very simple message for you this morning. I'm going to read a lot of scripture. In fact, actually, I'd like to ask you to turn over to the first chapter of Ephesians, mark that, and then turn to Galatians 1. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, and then turn to Galatians. Mark Romans chapter 8. Now, I'm going to read a lot of scriptures today. If you folks hear something in scriptures and you really need to look at it for yourself, and I encourage you to, please ask, and I'll be happy to give you a copy of my notes afterwards. For those of you online, if you need so, just put a request into Kathy via the texting there, and I'll be sure to get that for you before I leave for our trip this afternoon. It won't take me long to forward these notes on to you, but there's a lot of scriptures, so we're just going to look at these two together in verses, but I'm going to quote a lot to you. Now, three times the Apostle Paul calls the gospel message. He says, "My gospel." Allow me to share those three times with you. First, in Romans 2:16, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." In Romans 16:25, he says it this way, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which is kept secret since the world began." And then he mentions it a third time in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." So we see that the gospel of Paul, the gospel that Paul declares his gospel, And I want you to take this to heart, what I'm saying, as we brought out in our Bible study this morning. Salvation is a heart matter. Everything in the flesh is going to burn up. We are not going to take these bodies into heaven with us. They've got to go back to the dust from which they came. There's sin in this flesh. I don't need to tell you folks that, do I? You already know that. Isn't it a wonderful, wonderful thing that the Lord has shown us what we are before Him? If we didn't see ourselves as sinners, we would not see ourselves in need of His mercy and grace, would we? Does a righteous man need a Savior? Does one who is well need a physician? No. I didn't need Jesus Christ until I saw who I was. Paul declares in these three verses, my gospel. It's a personal thing with Paul. And that's what I want to bring before you this morning, is the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, a personal thing with you. Do you see Him as your personal Savior? Not a Jesus, not some Jesus, not this Jesus over here or that Jesus over here, but the Jesus who is described to His people right here in this book, according to Scriptures. There is only one gospel. There is only one message that is good. That is good news to a sinner. There is only one message of salvation, and that is Christ the Lord. He declares it. It is He is the way. Any other way is as a thief in the night. Any other way that one searches out salvation other than the way of this book right here before us is like a thief in the night. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says in 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I don't want to know about your good works. I encourage you to go out and do good works. I encourage you to help the poor. I encourage you to walk straight before God. He says, be ye holy, for He is holy. But that's not what I want to hear from you. That's not what I want to hear. I want to hear about who your Lord and Savior is. I want you to know who my Lord and Savior is. I want you to know what my gospel is. My gospel is what is in the book of the Lord, the Lord's letter to His people. Our Lord puts it very plainly and very simple where He says in John 3:16, and this is the gospel, folks. He says this, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. In Matthew 4:23, we read it this way, and Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and the healing manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. In chapter 9 of Matthew, verse 35, we read this, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. Not preaching many different gospels, but preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. The gospel, the good news, is what God the Father uses to save His people. Christ Himself came preaching this very message. We read in Matthew 11, verse 5, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. This is the message that Jesus went about preaching through all those cities. When He left Capernaum, He went into all the smaller cities around it. He left Capernaum behind. The biggest city, the most popular city, he left it behind. Why? Because they would not seek him for who he was. They would not seek him for what he did. They wanted something to fill their bellies, to fill their hearts with themselves. He went out and preached to the dead, preached to the poor. He preached the gospel to them, the good news. Christ came to save sinners. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14, we read it this way, "And now after that, John was put in prison, and Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand.'" He's speaking of himself. He told those righteous, self-righteous Pharisees, "I have told you who I am," when they asked, "How long do you make us to doubt? I have told you who I am. I have shown you who I am by the works that I do, the miracles that I do." He's telling them plainly here and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." In the 13th chapter of that same book, Mark, verse 10, we read this, "And the gospel must first be published among all nations." And then in chapter 16, verse 15, we read it this way, "And he said unto them, 'Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.'" I bring this out because this is the message that God's preachers bring. If Christ was a gospel preacher, should not all the preachers of God be gospel preachers? Some preachers stand up and want to tell you all about how to act godly, how to walk according to God's Word. And there's a lot of things in God's Word that teach us how to walk and how to act, isn't there? People ask me, "John, why don't you?" That's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel, the good news, is that you can't do those things. The message of the gospel is go out and do the best you can, but when you see that you are a failure at it, when you see that you cannot do it, when you see that you stumble at the word, at the law of God because your flesh gets in the way, you look to the one who has fulfilled it perfectly. You look to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who walked this earth perfectly for us, God in the flesh. My message to you today is simply the gospel. It's the same message I'm going to bring next week. It's the same message I'm going to preach in the Dalles on Wednesday. The purpose of God could be called the gospel, because that's what I do. I'm a gospel preacher. I'm here to preach good news to you who are shown that you are a sinner. Jesus came to save sinners. Does it not seem to you, after reading these verses, hearing these verses read, does it not seem to you that this gospel message that Scripture talks about, the true gospel, does it not seem to you a matter of great importance? It does to me. So much so that a warning is given to us. Read with me, if you would, in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Paul, writing to the Galatians, he had established a church. He had gone to the Galatians and he had preached Christ and Him crucified. A church was established. God was bringing people in. And then others crept in unawares. And he says in verse 6, "I marvel that ye," those of you at Galatia, the very ones that he says, "grace to you" in verse 3, "and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins." You notice what he's saying here. He's reminding them before he addresses them for the purpose that they had fallen back on. He reminds them who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from his present evil world, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. He says, "I marvel to you people that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, a different gospel, which is not another.
Well, John, there's a church right across the street there, and they preach the gospel too. Well, yeah, they preach it with works of men and stuff like that, but they preach the gospel, don't they?
No, they've added to the gospel of Christ. They've added to the gospel of the scriptures. Another gospel. A different gospel. A different gospel of grace. Which is not another, as it says in verse 7, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we preach unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be an accursed. For do I not persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. Cursed is anyone who brings another gospel which is not another. There is only one gospel, and that gospel is Christ Jesus the Lord. The gospel message is, who is he? It's who he is. Philippians 2:6, we read this, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In 1 Timothy 3:16, we read it this way, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. How are you going to call on the true and living God if you've never heard of who he is? We must hear of who the Lord is. You say, well, John, you heard about that last week. You already know who he is. You heard about him last week. I like hearing about him again. It's all a matter of the heart. I recall many a times when the Lord first called me out of darkness, coming here and just wondering, what in the world keeps dragging me back here? He's saying the same thing he did last week. I'm hearing the same message, but man, it sure is good stuff. Why is it so good to me? Why am I taking this message so much to heart? As a blind man, as one who was blind, but now I see. I want to hear more about his grace to me. I want to hear more about who he is and why he did it for me. I love to hear about how my Lord loves me, so much so that he gave himself for me. And if he loves you, he loves you for the same reason, because he has loved you from before the world was, with an eternal love. And he gave himself for you, because you can't do it yourself. I was talking Friday night about prayer. What is prayer? I find in my own self, and you may find this differently in you, I don't know. I'll just let that be. But just sharing with you, maybe you can relate to what I'm about to say. I find in myself that 99.9% of my prayers are all about me. Sorry. I do pray for you. I do love to. I ask for God's grace for Kelly and for his wife Leanne. I ask grace for the folks in Denver and Colorado. I ask for grace for those down in San Diego, for our friends in Arizona. I pray for others, but 99.9% of my prayers are for me. You know why? Because supplication is praying for something that I cannot attain on my own. I can't do anything better than what I am now. This is not a self-help seminar where I'm going to tell you, you can do it. We can't. We need somebody who can do it for us.
And that's the gospel, is that there is somebody who's done it for us. And done it perfectly. And because of His perfection, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is that not good news to you? Who is He? Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and believed on in the world, received up in glory. In Colossians 2:8 we read this, "Beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through vain philosophy, vain deceit." That's the philosophy of free will. That's the philosophy of you can do something to earn your salvation. All you got to do is come up here to the front, they'll say, and pray a prayer. All you got to do is get in this pool or this bathtub and be baptized. Or all you got to do is this. Or all you got to do is that. The gospel of Christ is the Lord Jesus has done it all. All to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain on this poor soul. He made it white as snow. Going on in Colossians chapter 2 verse 9, after saying, "Beware lest any man spoil you through vain philosophy and deceit," it says, "after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ, for in Him, in Christ Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." All power. That's what makes His blood shed on that cross effectual. All power in heaven and earth is His to wield as He sees fit. "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of Godhead, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power." Everything we need for salvation is in Him. We're complete. He is our Sabbath. Do you know that there were people in the days of the Old Testament who observed that Sabbath day every Saturday, knowing that it did nothing for their salvation. Yet they did it anyway. You know why? Because it pointed them to the true Sabbath. The true one that we can rest in. The true one that we lay everything at His feet. Our Sabbath, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. He is the head of all powers. Everything was created by Him. Everything is for His purpose. The good news, the gospel message for a bankrupt, needy sinner is Jesus Christ the Lord, who has all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. It says, "Whosoever believeth on Me," in Scriptures. That means that believeth on Him according to Scriptures, according to His Word, the Word of truth. Our Lord says in John 5:39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me, of the Lord Jesus." Didn't say they are the words that testify of how you should walk. They didn't say it testifies of the words of how you should live your life. It says they testify of Him. Because that's salvation, that's the good news, Him. We must believe on Him, but it must be according to His Word. Many have come over the years and added their vain philosophy to the Word of God. They say, "You must believe and do this. You must believe and do that." That's not what our Lord says, is it? He says, "Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, we read it this way, "For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity
and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you word. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, we read it this, but I fear lest he by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Can it get any more simpler than that? Salvation is of the Lord. And that's just as plain and simple as it can get. The simple message is this, that God was manifest in the flesh so he could provide himself the perfect sacrifice, paying in full the debt for our sins of his chosen people. A people that he has loved from before the foundation of all creation. Man can offer nothing to this thrice holy God. We are nothing but sin from the top of our heads to the bottom of our toes. I know we want to think better of ourselves. That's why I need to hear the gospel over and over again, because I try to think better of myself. It's my nature, the nature of my flesh. Our Lord says, the heart is desperately wicked. You know how I know that that's true? I see the heart of this flesh in me still. I battle my flesh. My spirit says, I'm clean according to the way the Lord has said in his word, and I am. But I see the wickedness of that heart that I once had, the wickedness that said, I will not have this one rule over me. I'll be my own man, is what I used to say. I'll do it my way, is the way I used to say it. Lord's word says we come from our mother's womb speaking lies. Our tongues are as an asp, a snake, a poisonous serpent. Anything that speaks differently from the truth of God's word of who he is, what he has done, and where he is now is speaking a lie. We have absolutely nothing in this flesh to offer up for our sins. We need a substitute. We need a scapegoat, one that is without blemish, without spot, of perfect righteousness. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. He perfectly laid down his life. He perfectly gave his blood, a perfect blood that accomplished exactly its purpose for going to the cross, and that was to save his people. He took our sins as his own, though there was no sin in him. And he carried them into the grave to be seen no more. And as God in the flesh, he arose from the dead, victor over death, victor over sin. And he says this to you and I now. I've done it. It's finished. Salvation is complete. And he says this to you and I. Matthew 11, verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Wasn't he? It still boggles my mind that the very one who put me in my mother's womb got down on his knees and washed the feet of his people. Do you know he does that for you and I right now? Isn't that what the blood of Christ is doing for all of his people right this minute? Washing us in his blood. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Oh, the rest that we have knowing our Lord has done it for us. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The people of God have good news indeed. We have rest in Jesus. We rest in His finished works. We lay down our own desires to earn our salvation in the flesh, and we put it at the feet of Jesus, who has done it all for us. The gospel of Christ and Him crucified is good news indeed, for we have a righteousness in Him. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we would be made righteous in Him. It's good news to hear about we have sanctification in Christ. I don't have to set myself apart. The Lord has set me apart. I used to walk as the world, and now I walk according to Him. Not because John wanted to, but because the Lord Jesus Christ is my sanctification. He's my holiness. We have justification in Jesus Christ. We are justified in Him. As our Savior, all of our sins being laid upon Him, the fact that He took them to the grave and they're seen no more, it's just as if I'd never sinned. Is that not good news? Justification. God's justice has been met. His wrath was poured out on His Son, the very wrath that we all deserve. The good news is that we have redemption in Christ. We have been redeemed. Where sin has set us apart from God Almighty, the Lord Jesus has redeemed us from our sins, and we are with God now, heirs, joint heirs with Christ. And here's, this is some good stuff right here. Here's some good news. We have intercession with God in Christ. You know what that means? That means this, that as I go through this world continually until the Lord takes me home, every time I stumble, and I will, there's one sitting on the throne right now saying this, I know. I know. I got it. It's covered. Go forth and sin no more. And then I'm going to go forth and try to sin no more, and I'm going to sin again. And He's going to say, I know. I got that one too. The good news to a sinner is one sits on His throne interceding for us. The good news that keeps us walking through this world as we leave this building and go out into the world and associate ourselves with those around us and mingle with the valley and the valley of the shadow of death. Because that's what it is to you and I. To those who are called of God, to those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, the world is going to die, but it's nothing more than a valley, a shadow of death to you and I. For we shall live forever with Him. Because of His work, because of His finished work, we shall live forever, eternally with Him. What is good news to a poor lost sinner? Look over in Romans chapter 8 with me. What is good news to a poor lost sinner?
Romans chapter 8 to the left, just a few pages. There is therefore, right now, no condemnation. Nothing to condemn us. Nothing that God can charge us with, because everything that would condemn us was laid upon our Savior. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And now let's go over to my favorite verse, along with all my other favorite verses, and even more favorite verses, verse 28. And we know. How do we know? How do you know? How do you know? And do you know in your own heart the truth of what we're about to read? How do we know? If God has given us faith, if we have true God-given faith, not of works, lest man should boast, a faith that has been given to us to believe God's word, this is how we know. Well, John, how can I know? If you have faith, saving faith, you'll know. All things. Oh, what peace these words can give a sinner who is fighting the sin of this flesh. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? Do we not have peace with God? Does the Lord not give peace to your heart in the troubles of this flesh? Do these words not resonate to your very heart, your very soul, your very spirit? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Does that not cover all the gospel right there? Not just what we've done, but what we might do in the future. Oh, that's good news to this poor sinner. That's simply the gospel right there. But let's continue on for just a moment. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Just in case you might think there's something else, who can separate us? Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or the sword? Nay. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
Can you read this next verse from the heart? For I am persuaded. I am persuaded through the Word of God. I am persuaded by who He is. I am persuaded by what He has done. I am persuaded. Bill, that door just swung right open. Would you mind? I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us, to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. Does it get any more simpler than that? That's the gospel. That's the message I pray God will leave on my heart to bring before you every time I get a chance to. That's the message that I've heard for 20 some odd years that blesses me every time I hear it. Why? Because I've got to walk in this flesh the rest of the time, which is the majority of the time.
Right.
The very little bit of time that I come into God's house and look at His Word, I need every bit of it that I can. I heard a preacher say, I just want you guys to read all the scripture with me. And that's okay. Don't get me wrong. Don't take this like I'm putting him down. He goes, I want you to read what we have here, but in our layout here, there's a whole bunch more. I give this to you to go home, hoping that you'll go home and read it there. I thought to myself as I listened to this preacher speak, I don't go home and read. I know I should, but I just don't. And I don't know how many people out there go home and read Scripture daily. And I pray that some of you may. I pray that I may more. But I know I don't. So what little time I spend in God's Word right here in this house, in Bible study, in listening to messages from godly preachers, is precious to me. It's the good news. That's what gospel means. It means good news to a sinner. And I pray God has allowed me to give that and bring that message to you this morning. Will you stand with me, please?